Yes. So we have been in this series here called I Love Temecula, but all across the East Lake Church Network, there's 9 churches in our network. They've all been doing a series there called I Love CV or SD or LA or whatever. And then last weekend, every one of our churches took a break from our normal routine of doing this, and we served our community. And last week, so many of you were here as we served this school. You know, for us here in Temecula, we wanted to do for one what we wish we could do for all. And so we wanted to bless this school as best we could. And so I just wanted to stop today before we kind of move into the talk and it just before we close out this series and just celebrate a little bit of what we accomplished as a church family last weekend. Can we do that? Can we celebrate today a little bit? Yes. Okay. So kind of before I get into the details and the numbers and stuff that of what we were able to do last week, first off, I just wanted to say I am so proud of this church family. I mean, last weekend was one of these game-changer, monumental weekends for our church family. As you guys came here and you served your butts off, so many of you out in the garden, like cleaning up that monstrosity that was there to turn it into something usable and wonderful. I was so proud of this church family last week. Those of you in here that put together the teacher gifts and the hygiene kits for the shelter, it was an amazing, amazing weekend to be a part of. So thank you so much for all that you did. And just know that as your pastor, I was so proud. I've never been more proud of this church family than I was last weekend. Even though we've seen a lot happen in the 20 months since we've existed. I was pretty proud launch day that we actually had a launch day and we pulled it off. For those of you that were here that first day, like we got through and it was like, we did it. Like we did it. We made it. And we were pretty proud that day. But last weekend was even the most proud I've ever been of you as a church family. And so I'm so excited to be a part of this family. So now we're going to celebrate a little bit. You can go ahead and put up that first picture for me, Shirley. Just to show a few of the pictures from last weekend. If you follow us on Facebook, you can see all of these on Facebook, Eastlake Church Temecula. It's facebook.com/Eastlake Church Temecula. But last week, one of the first things we did is we filled over 75 complete hygiene kits. So we filled this little picture way over here. These are the hygiene kits that we filled out for a shelter. And then this couple actually picked them up. The older couple here picked them up for the shelter, and we were able to donate those. But what you probably don't even know about the hygiene kits is that entire project was thought up and put on by one of our volunteers. That's not even something as a church like staff. We said, hey, let's go do this. Someone said, I have a heart to serve these people, and what can I do and jump in and help? And then they set it up. I didn't talk to that person about sharing who they were and everything, so I won't go into that because I should always ask first. I've learned that lesson from my wife a couple of times. Always ask your wife before you talk about her on stage, just FYI. But it was the whole thing was thought about one of our church members. It was such an amazing experience we were able to do that. And also, we put together over 89 school staff gifts. And the school staff gifts are what's in these orange boxes here. There was an I Heart Temecula mug. There was some chocolate, some snacks, some pretzels, and a Starbucks gift card, some flavored sparkling water that was in there. We put together those 89 gifts for the staff that work here at the school. Just to say thank you for what you do. Thank you for letting us be a part. You know, thank you for letting us meet here. Thank you for serving the kids in our community. Just to say thank you. And then we completely cleaned the heck out of their garden. And this is kind of the before and after picture. I put them right next to each other. This was before and this was after. Quite the major difference. You can go and throw up the next picture, Shirley. And then, on here we got some more pictures, just people stepping in. And I love this one because it looks like these young boys are helping. They did not help at all. They just held the shovels. But it was like, I'm going to throw that up there. It looks like we had those kids working. Nope. Two of those boys are my sons, and I can vouch for them. They did nothing. But they had a good time. This entire weekend, everything we were able to do through the garden, the teacher gifts, and all of it was possible because of your sacrificial giving. Because not only did you give of your time and energy last week and talents, but also your treasure that you financially have given to this church and the Jesus mission here. So not only were we able to do all of that last week, but because of your giving, one thing that we didn't do last week, but it's still a part of this whole process, is we were able to buy 3 brand new computers for the library here at the school. So, yes. So thank you so much for being a part of that. So I just wanted to read you a few of the things. So on Monday afternoon, some people at the school were so thankful for what we were able to do as a church. They just began to flood us with thanks. And so I just want to read a couple of those to share those with you. You just go ahead and put on the Facebook post there Shirley. So these are a couple of Facebook posts on our Facebook page. Somebody wrote, wow, thank you. It's amazing donating your time and energy to make our garden start to go back to its glory days. Also, the Temecula Luiseno Elementary School staff gifts was such a sweet touch, which made us all feel special. I'm sure the shelter was grateful for the hygiene kits, such an act of Temecula kindness. Then down here, this is so incredible. Thank you so much. I know our teachers so appreciated the goodie baskets, and our Eagles will be so thrilled to be a part, to be able to start the Garden Club again. We feel so fortunate to have your church as a part of our village. And that last line makes everything we did worth it. And someone is grateful that our church is a part of this village, which is, oh, so awesome. And I wanted to read you an email one of the teachers wrote to me last week. Because when they write, you know, they write these things to me, but I mean, you guys did it. I was just, you know, here. I just wore a t-shirt. Hello, Pastor Headley, which, and don't call me, that's like my grandfather. I'm Nathan, okay? Pastor Headley, like, my name is, you know, someone. I'm a teacher at Temecula Luiseno Elementary. I came into work today to the most wonderful surprise. A whole counter full of gift baskets. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the thoughtful gift baskets that your congregation left for each member of our staff. We were all floored by your generosity and kindness. It is often really hard to come back to work from a weekend. Right? Yes. But today, you made it a real treat. Thank you so very much. One of the men in our church who was a part of last week's projects, he texted me on Wednesday and said, hey, I just met my neighbor at our mailboxes. She works at the school, and she said on Monday, the faculty walked in, saw the baskets, and they were flabbergasted. I love that word. When they were told the church did them for everyone, the church was the talk of the day. I'd call that success. Wow. Just awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And we're just excited to see. I mean, last week we looked like the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, we looked like what he looked like on this earth serving this place. So let's just take a moment and let's just celebrate today what we were able to do last week. And I just think first thing we want to do is we want to celebrate with a word of prayer. And just thank God, because it was because of him we were able to do all of that. So thank you so much for your hard work. And let's just thank God. God, we just say thank you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing this church family together. God, we thank you for working through us last week to giving us energy to clean out the garden and get those gifts. And God, we thank you so much for the hygiene kit, everything we were able to do last week, God. And we pray right now as we give you thanks and praise for the impact that our actions had on this school and on the shelter and also just in this community at large. God, as we thank you for that impact, we just pray that first and foremost, through this entire weekend of service, that people would be pointed towards you. God, we didn't do this to say, hey, look how great we are. We did it to say, look how great our God is. So I pray that through this act of service, through these projects over last weekend across all of our network churches and all over Southern California, Salt Lake City, and Tijuana, that every single person, when they hear about what our church family, our global church family in this network did, that the first thing that they would think of was, I'm so glad those churches are in our city. They must serve an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we've been in this series. You can go ahead and grab your outline out of your program. It says, I Love Temecula. We're finishing it up today. Today is the conclusion. And we've been in this series for the past, really, 5 weeks. And we started out the whole thing with this one premise. And it's the first thing you can fill out in your notes. The premise of this is that we, as Jesus followers, we are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. If you are a Jesus follower, you are a sent person. That is a part of your identity. That is a part of who we are as Jesus followers, that he has sent us into this world to be a blessing and to show others the love that he's shown to us. He's blessed us so much that that blessing that he's blessed us with overflows and is to go out of us as well. Now, if you're here and you're not a Jesus follower yet, I want you to know that Eastlake Church here is a safe place for you. Eastlake Church is a safe place for anyone to just come and check out the claims of Jesus and see who he really was. And also, it's a safe place for you to be a part of a family, a part of a community of people. Even if you don't believe the way we do yet, we welcome you. We're so glad you're here. If you are a Jesus follower already, you're a sent person. and we were sent to be a blessing. You know, this idea of Jesus followers blessed to be a blessing, that God has blessed us so that we can bless others, it comes from all over Scripture, but we took it from this series, from Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 through 3, when God was talking to a man named Abram. Later, he was known as Abraham. And God said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now then, some New Testament context to this. We read throughout this series from Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus was talking. And Jesus said, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way as a lamp gives light to everyone, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We did that last week. As a church family, collectively, our good deeds shined out and people began to notice. That's why I love this. That's what this I Love to Make Those series is all about. It's about us being a blessing. And we came up with this blessed strategy that we talked about the past 5 weeks. And it just follows the acronym BLESS. And we talked about the first week, it's these five simple rhythms to share Jesus. The first one is begin in prayer. You can write that in your notes. The B stands for begin in prayer. You know, as Jesus followers, we are sent people and we're sent to bless. We're sent to share the good news of Jesus. And there's these five simple rhythms that we can use to show and share Jesus. And the first one is begin in prayer. Every endeavor in life is to begin in prayer. Every major decision that we make in our families, we are to begin with prayer. And we talked about praying for those around us, praying for those where we live, work, and play. You know, praying for those that you live next to, your neighbors, those where your third places we talked about, those where you, the coffee shop that you frequent, the restaurant you go to often, those that you work with beside each and every day. You know, our family, we do this. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for those around us. You know, for us, one of the major places that we play is like our kids' sports, because our kids play sports, and then we go and hang out, and we pray for the families that also have kids on the same team and try to pray for them and build a relationship with them. You know me, I pray for those who I work with, which guess what? That's you. So my job here is obviously for you. And so every week I pray for each and every one of you. And I pray that God blesses you. And so I want you to know I'm praying for you. There's other people here that are praying for you. But in every endeavor, we are to begin in prayer. Then after we begin in prayer, we talked about listening. The L, you can fill that in as listen. Listen. You know, as Jesus followers, we are to be the best listeners around, listening for what is really going on in people's lives. You know, one thing that we did last week whenever we served this school is that we started with this whole idea of listening. We went and said, hey, what can we do to help the school? What can we do to help you? And the principal here, he goes, really, our garden really needs some help. I said, okay, we'll do what we can. We wanted to listen. They said, hey, we could really use some computers for our library. So we're listening. We're to be listeners for what's really going on in people's lives and see how we can help them. After listening, we talked about eating. The E is eat. We are to share meals with others. You know, relationships are formed over meals shared together. As we look at the New Testament, Jesus did this so well. He was constantly eating with people and sharing meals. And then the first S in this blessed strategy is serve. We spent a whole week talking about what it looks like to serve. And I can't reiterate enough how proud I am of you that you did this last week. You served the school. You served your butts off. And whenever we serve people, whenever we follow this, whenever we pray for people, we listen, we share meals, we build relationships, and then we serve those people, it naturally opens up opportunities to have more significant conversations. Even last Saturday, 8 days ago, I was at Home Depot buying most of the stuff for the garden cleanup. I was buying the tools and all this stuff, and there's a couple guys there that were helping me load the trailer and stuff. And the first question they asked was like, what are you doing with all this stuff? And so I told, you know, the couple guys that were helping, they're like, wow, that, you know, I said, you know, we're going to clean up an elementary school in town. We're going to clean up their garden. They're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And then I got to the checkout counter, and there was a woman at the checkout counter, and she said, what are you doing with all this stuff? And I said, we are going to clean up an elementary school in town. We're going to clean up their garden for them. And she goes, why would, what, really? like, are you like some, who are you? Like, are you an organization? Are you a teacher there? Like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, no, we're a church, and we wanted to be a blessing to the school. And so as a church, we decided we were going to help them. They wanted their garden cleaned up, so we're doing all the garden cleanup. And she was like, hope we have people to help you, not just by yourself. I was like, no, I'm just paying for this stuff here. Other people are dealing, you know, with me. But then she goes, what church is that? And I was going to say, well, Eastlake Church. And she's like, do you guys do this kind of stuff often? And I was like, well, actually, yeah, once a year we're going to take a week from our services and we're going to bless our community. She's like, that's amazing. Do you have like a card or something I can know about your church? So I was like, yeah, absolutely. And handed her one of the invite cards right there. It opened up, whenever she saw what we were going to do, it opened up a larger, more significant conversation. When we serve people, it opens up conversations. And you can fill in the last S, kind of the last culmination. You know, the last S is sangria. No, I'm just kidding. The last S in this is story. When we serve people, when we begin in prayer, we listen, we eat, we serve, then it opens up the opportunity to share the Jesus story and our Jesus story. If we're a Jesus follower, we have a Jesus story. It's how Jesus has impacted our life, how he's changed us, how he's helped us. And then there's also the Jesus story, that he died on the cross so that we could all be forgiven. He wants us to spend eternity in heaven. He rose from the dead. And so whenever we do this strategy, the last thing is sharing the Jesus story, sharing our Jesus story. Now, talking about sharing our Jesus story and the Jesus story can sound pretty daunting. I mean, I think it's one of the things that, you know, most Christians, especially in our culture today, most Christians, it's probably like one of the things that gives us the most anxiety in church is like, wait, you're going to tell me I got to go tell people about Jesus? But hopefully after today, you'll be able to see how really not weird it can be, how important it is for us to be willing to share the Jesus story and our Jesus story with others, but also how uncomplicated it can be. It sounds daunting, it can sound complicated, and I don't have all the answers, and I don't know Scripture well enough to do this. Hopefully after today you'll see that really every single one of you that's a Jesus follower can share the Jesus story, can share your Jesus story, and you can do it well. Before we jump into the story section, watch this.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable. That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. He better not. Doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Does anything make you feel more uncomfortable than some stranger going, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus? Yeah, I'd like you not to. We could say that to the Pope. I want to talk to you about Jesus. You'd be like, easy, freak. I keep work at work. I have to admit, that was a good impression of the Pope.
Yes. I think many of us can feel just like Jim Gaffigan there. We don't really want strangers talking to us about Jesus. It's kind of uncomfortable, which is why I love this whole blessed strategy, because really this whole blessed strategy is about forming a deep relationship with someone before we have the opportunity to share the Jesus story, before we have the opportunity to share our Jesus story. When it comes out of relationship, it looks a lot different than just walking up to someone off the street. You know, whenever it forms first in relationship, it's not about trying to convert someone through debate or through argument. It's simply about making friends with people and then living like Jesus did. So write this down for our big idea today. Today's big idea at the bottom of your notes. Sharing the/our Jesus story is necessary in order to bless. The first thing we got to know is, in order to bless people, it's necessary for us to share the Jesus story and to share our Jesus story. You know, if we do this whole thing, we begin in prayer, we eat, we listen, we serve, and then it opens up the opportunity to have that conversation, then we don't take that conversation. Not that it wasn't, everything we did was for nothing, but it was kind of for nothing, because really, all that we do here is about Jesus. Everything we do here on Sunday mornings as a church family, our growth groups, our relationships forming as a church, everything we do is about Jesus. So what we want to do is to use this strategy to lead people into a place where we can have an open, honest conversation about Jesus. I mean, you cannot spell bless without the last S because it's that important. I mean, I guess you could, it just wouldn't be grammatically correct. We have lots of teachers in here and they would correct you. Believe me, they send me emails. No, I'm just kidding. No one's ever sent me an email at this church about spelling errors on the screen, but it has happened in previous places. You know, we aren't just serving people so they like us. We didn't just serve the school so they like us. We serve the school to tell them that we care about them, we love them, and hopefully one day the people represented at the school will come to know Jesus. And some of them already do. They already go to churches around, and we want to be a blessing, but we aren't doing this whole blessed strategy thing to get people to join our church. You know, our goal here isn't to have a big church. Like, our goal is not to have a big church. Our goal is to see people come to know Jesus. Our goal is to see souls enter into eternity through what we do here. It's not about just growing bigger and bigger. It's about seeing people make a decision to follow Jesus so they spend eternity in heaven. And as we do that, we naturally grow as a church. It's a byproduct of our mission. But our mission is to show and share Jesus. You know, we've been teaching this idea. We've been doing it. We've been living it so that opportunities to share the Jesus story will happen. Without Jesus, none of this would really even matter. You know, we have to be ready to share the Jesus story. We've got to be ready when the opportunity comes. Look what Paul writes to the Roman Christians in the first century in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. You can flip over to the back side of your notes. Paul writes, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, 'How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.'" He's not talking about getting a pedicure before you go tell people about Jesus. We as Jesus followers, we've been sent. As Paul writes, we have been sent so that people will hear. So that when they hear, they might believe. So that when they believe, they can be saved. That is our mission. We have been sent. How can they hear if no one ever opens up their mouth and tells them? How can people hear about Jesus unless we are willing to open up our mouth and talk about him? Now, you can do this and you can do it well and you don't have to have all the answers. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. It's not about how much scripture you know, it's about the Jesus that you know in your life. You know, it could be a bit awkward. Let's be honest. It could be a bit awkward. You know, there's been multiple times in my life where I've had the wonderful opportunity to share my Jesus story with people through conversations, and I can only remember like a handful of times that it wasn't awkward. But when someone comes and they ask about it, and they're usually when someone asks a question, they're ready for an answer. You know, their ears are open and listening, and that conversation could be a little awkward, it can be a little weird, but you can do it, and you can do it well, because someone's eternity might just depend on us being willing to be a little awkward, being willing to be a little uncomfortable with what we're talking about. Look what First Peter writes, or what Peter writes in First Peter. Not that there was two different Peters, same one. What Peter writes in First Peter, chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. "And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way." When someone asks, "Why do you go to church on Sunday?" When someone asks, "Why do you believe in Jesus? Oh, you're one of those Jesus-following people? Well, why? What is it about Jesus that makes you want to follow him?" When someone asks, don't be shy or intimidated to share why we have the hope that we do. When someone asks, they're ready for an answer. You know, an easy way to share my Jesus story. I'm just going to go through the next thing in your notes. We're going to talk a little bit about how do we share our Jesus story. I'm going to skip that other video, just so you know, for time's sake. An easy way to share my Jesus story is to think before, during, and after. An easy way to share my Jesus story is to think before, during, and after. What was my life before I followed Jesus? What was different about my life? What was going on in my life? What was happening before I met and began to follow Jesus? What was going on during the process? What was Jesus doing inside of you as you were coming into, walking towards making that decision? What was going on inside of you? What was happening in your life during making that decision? And then after, what changed about your life after you chose to follow Jesus? What was different about following Jesus? What was different about how you act, how you live, how you felt, what you did, your relationships in your life, the health? What was different about your life after you chose to follow Jesus? To think before, during, and after. Now, I've heard a lot of people share their Jesus story over the years. And I've heard a lot of people, especially that had some like really compelling Jesus stories. It was, man, I was strung out on drugs, and I was like this, and then Jesus met me, and then I was delivered and set free by Jesus. And this is what happened, and my life was great because of it. I've heard a lot of compelling stories, and if you haven't, you know, I can even point you to some really compelling stories. Someone as a part of our network shared a really compelling story in Chula Vista 2 weeks ago. I can even send you that video. Some really compelling stories. But for me, for a lot of years, I would hear these compelling stories about people getting this radical change when following Jesus. And then I begin to think, well, my Jesus story just isn't powerful. Like, it's just not like that. Like, I wasn't strung out on drugs. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't even rebel in high school. My parents were Christians. I grew up in church. And so I just had this thing of like, well, my Jesus story isn't great. So maybe I should just make up a really good one. Don't make up a good story. The thing is as I looked at my own life, begin to think about before, during, and after, there were some very tangible things I could talk about with people. And here's the thing. The most compelling story you can tell someone about Jesus is your Jesus story, because it's yours. It's your story with Jesus. People naturally connect with individual stories. Now, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, you know, maybe many years ago, and you can't even point to some life change, I would say maybe it's time to reevaluate if you're really following and pursuing after Jesus. Because when we follow Jesus, he does stuff in our lives. Things change. Things happen. You know, telling our Jesus story doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It doesn't have to be complicated. We can make it simple, especially when we begin to think of this. What was it like before? What was my life like during Jesus was working on it? And what was it like after? Your story is powerful, and Jesus will use it because it's your story with him. Telling your Jesus story can be more simple and more compelling and more powerful if you take time to think about it before, during, and after. You know, one of the things they taught us to do back when we would go on mission trips, we're going to take one in April this year. If you want to get on that mission trip, you can see Maria. But in mission trip training, we always talk about writing out your Jesus story and just putting it on paper and writing before what happened, what was my life before Jesus, what was it like during, and then what was it like after I chose to follow Jesus. And just simply mapping it out kind of gets it some time and gets you ready where you can share it in a simple way. Write this down. The bottom line from today is this. We are to be willing to share your story when God opportunities happen. This whole blessed strategy is about creating relationships with people, serving people so that God opportunities happen. And then when those God opportunities happen, we got to be willing to share our Jesus story when that time comes. Well, how do I know if it's a God opportunity? Believe me, you'll know. You'll know. When you've been in a relationship with someone for a few weeks, a few months, or a couple years, and then this whole time they've known that you go to church and that you believe in Jesus, and then there's that moment where they say, why do you believe? Like, why do you believe this? Why do you go to church anyway? What's your church like? You'll know it's a God opportunity when that happens. When that happens, we're to be willing. The easy way to do that, think before, during, and after. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6, Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. I want to pause here. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan. One of the things that we pray for is those, the people where we live, work, and play, we pray for them. One of the things that we should also pray for is that we would have God opportunities happen in our life. I can guarantee you, if you pray, God, I pray that you would help me see some God opportunities this week. I pray you'd create some God opportunities this week for me to share you. I guarantee you, if you start praying that, he's going to start opening up those opportunities. God is always ready to use his people when his people are willing. But what naturally happens is we don't pray that, and then we don't look for opportunities, and they can easily pass us by. He says, pray for us too, that we will see these God opportunities. We'll have a lot of opportunities. We'll see them to speak about this plan. That's why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Next, live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't let the opportunities pass you by. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive. so you'll have the right response for everyone. Telling your Jesus story can be simple, but it's powerful when we tell it, because it's our story, and it's our Jesus story, and he wants to use it. You know, the main idea today, this bottom line, is we're to be ready to share our Jesus story when those opportunities happen. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, that's when we just be obedient to his prompting. Be obedient to him listening. You know, as I looked over, you know, as I've looked over my life and think about the many, many stories of when Jesus has intervened and done something powerful in my life, and I begin to think about this, like, okay, what was happening before and then during and after. As I think about these stories, there's some that you can use for different scenarios, and even knowing which is the right story to tell at the right moment can be a powerful one. But it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, one of the stories that I've told is when someone asks, "Hey, Nathan, you know, why do you believe in Jesus? I mean, why do you go to church?" And for me, usually it's when they find out I'm a pastor. You know, it's like, "Oh, why are you a pastor?" And I was like, "I don't even know, man. Like, people are crazy." No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm a pastor. That's what I feel Jesus has called me to do. What does that mean? What do you mean Jesus has called you to do that? Why do you follow Jesus? There's many moments that I can look back in my life and know that Jesus moved in my life powerfully. There's one that's a significant one that I always remember clearly was when I was 16 years old. When I was 16 years old, it was the summer. It was in the summertime, and it was a moment of like great pain and anguish for a 16-year-old. You know, as I've grown older, we all know that pain can be a lot deeper when you're an adult and understand, you know more about stuff. But as a 16-year-old, I had some deep pain going on. My girlfriend had cheated on me, and she'd even gone to the concert with the guy she was with now that I bought the tickets for us, and that was very frustrating. And I was angry. Like, I was just mad. I was frustrated. I mean, I was angry a lot back then. I just kind of was like one of these angry children. Like, I had a temper, and generationally, like, our family, we just passed down that generationally. A lot of the men have hot tempers, and I had this temper growing up, and I was kind of known at the school, in elementary school, for getting in trouble for my temper, and I was angry. And then, you know, put someone who was already just kind of really angry in this situation that was so painful, I was furious at the world. I was mad. And so the same week that that concert was happening, I was so frustrated, angry, my youth pastor, the pastor that was over the high school at my church, he said, "Nathan, there's a group of guys going to go down to San Antonio, and they're going to do all this setup and all this work. I think it'd be good if you went with them." And I was like, "Well, I don't think it'd be good if I went with them." And he was like, "I think you should just think about it." I was like, "Okay." So I thought about it and felt like I was supposed to do it. And so I got in this car, and I'm mad. I'm just angry at life. I'm with these other guys from a different church, and they've been following Jesus for years. They were guys in their early 20s. And we start out on the highway, and what is normally like a 3.5-hour trip from where we were in Dallas to San Antonio, it took us 7.5 hours because of traffic. About the 6th hour, I'm about to lose it. Like, just get me, I don't even want to be here. Like, Oscar, that was my youth pastor. I'm like, "Why did you do this to me?" Like, I'm so mad. And I don't even remember what these guys said, but they were just talking about Jesus a little bit and what we were doing. And I don't even remember what they said, but I remember one specific moment, one of the guys, it was Preston, he said something. And right when he said it, I just knew Jesus was speaking to me. I just knew Jesus said, "Nathan, you're angry. If you ask me to take away your anger, if you ask me to take away your temper, I will." And I remember hearing that and sensing that. It wasn't audible. I didn't hear Jesus' voice like everybody in the car shook. You know, I knew he was speaking to me in my heart. And so I went back to my hotel room later on that week, and just by myself, I just sat down and I said, "God, Jesus, I know you've died for me. I know that you rose from the dead. I know that you love me. Would you take away my anger? Would you take away my temper?" And in that moment, he did. And it was gone. And I know that Jesus is real because he showed up in my life. He took away that anger. I was filled with joy. I had this peace come over me like I never had before. And even to this day, yes, I get angry at times and I'm not perfect, but I do not have the hot temper that I ever had when I was growing up. That even we can see in other people in our family that I kind of followed along the same path as them growing up. I didn't have that temper because Jesus took it away. I know that Jesus is real because he did this for me. That's one of my Jesus stories. When someone has asked, why do you believe in Jesus? This is what, I know he's real because this is what he's done for me. Before, I was angry, daring. I could feel him around me, speaking to me, giving me peace and joy in that moment. What is it like after? He took away those things that were hindering me from living a full and satisfying life, which is what Jesus came to give. He told us in his word. He came to give us a rich and satisfying life. You can tell your Jesus story. It will be powerful if you take the God opportunities when they happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us, as we live out this blessed strategy, as we begin in prayer, as we listen to those that are in our lives, as we eat and share meals and build relationships, as we give and serve people in our lives, I pray that the opportunities would open up for us to share our Jesus story, to share your story, the story of Jesus, and that we would see so many people in this community, in our neighborhoods, choose to follow you, spend eternity in heaven because of our lives on this earth. We pray that you would use each and every one of us. You'd give us strength and boldness to share the story when the opportunity comes. In Jesus' name, amen.